2 Kings chapter number 5, when Brother Ken asked us to come, I told him, you know, we'd pray about it. And that night I was trying to pray and find the will of God, and the Lord took us to this passage. In 29 years, I've only preached from this passage one time. I won't tell you anything that you don't know, but there is a burden that I want to share with you out of 2 Kings chapter number 5. If you'd like to stand as we read the first 9 verses and pray that the Lord would help us tonight. Very familiar to most, and we pray that the Lord would make it familiar again tonight. The Bible said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the little maid that is in the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he went, rent his clothes, and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" And we want to get to verse number 9 as fast as we can, and we'll be through and pray God would help us. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." You can be seated. Thank you for standing. In verse number 1, we're just going to walk through these verses and listen to the Lord. But in verse number 1, you learn a little bit about the person of Naaman. The Bible called him the captain of the host. He was the general of Ben-Hadad's army, the king of Syria. You look at this man's character, Naaman. He had a character of honor. One man that I read after said not only the thought of honorable by the king, but also by all ranks and degrees of people that he was associated with, but he was still a leper and he needed cleansing. You know, God used Naaman, and that's just the providential hand of God. God used Naaman to deliver Syria. And in verse number 1, you find out he was also a mighty man in valor. He was very courageous. He was an honorable man. And there's a lot of great things that you could say about him, but he was still a leper. You know, there's still a lot of decent people left in the South and, you know, in our country. But the problem is that if they're not saved, they need to be saved by the grace of God. And Naaman was a good man, a fighting man. He was a nationalist, if you will, but he was still a sinner in that picture of leprosy. In verse number 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And that's the majority of the preaching that I've heard down through the years, is this little maid. You look at what happened in her life. These Syrians that went out, again, I was reading after a man, and these weren't regular troops that went out in verse number 2. These were bands of robbers, and they would ravish and take anything of the land that had any value. That's how they got this little maid. They would capture young boys and girls, and they would sell them on the open market. And that's how this little maid was captured. But notice what happens at the end of verse number 2. The Bible said, out of the land of Israel,
Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. You know, I guess that was just luck. I guess that was just happenstance that she was captured out of a foreign land, taken against her own will, taken from her homeland, her mom and dad and her friends. But she landed right there and waited on Naaman's wife. I'm going to tell you, God's doing something behind the scenes, as bad as it is. And God's placed this little maid right where she needed to be to give God the glory. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but there's been times that situations look bad and they sound bad and feel bad, and it may not have been something we chose, but God, in His providential will, allowed this to happen to her to bring about a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. In verse number 3 and 4, there's a proclamation of this young lady. I wish we could hear her tonight. She said unto her mistress, I believe she was a mountain girl, she said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria." Notice the confidence that she had. "For he would recover him of his leprosy." That is the testimony of the little maid. She goes in, she tells Naaman's wife of her man of God. You ought to be thankful that you got a man of God in 2021. You ought to be thankful that you got a Bible-preaching preacher in these last days. It's amazing how people have went to performing and things of that. But I'm going to tell you, people are hungry tonight. People want to know what thus saith the Lord. And she had that much confidence. She said, "I wish we could hear of what God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would." She didn't have any doubt. She had confidence that God would deliver and that God would recover him of his leprosy. Now, you know, leprosy was an awful disease and a horrific disease. When I was a little boy, my daddy pastored, and he brought in a missionary named Brother Tommy Tillman, and he was a missionary to those leprosy colonies. And I'm not trying to be horrific. That's just the way it was. Leprosy would eat out the cheekbones. It could eat off an ear. I mean, it would start inwardly and it would work outwardly. That's why it's always used as a picture of sin. You know, little things, little foxes spoil the vine, but they always have a way of working themselves out. And notice what happened. I've never had seen this, and you probably have, but just enjoy it with me in verse number 3, or in verse 4. The Bible said, "And one went in." Now, I don't know if it was a man. I don't know if it was a woman. And the Bible said, it was a young man, and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." You've got, and I'm naming him what the Bible calls him, one. I'm just naming him one. We don't know what his name is. We don't know if he has some kind of position. But he heard what the young lady said to the mistress, or to the wife, or Naaman's wife. And she goes in, or he goes in, and he starts telling what he had heard. He doesn't add anything to it. He just said that there's a little maid that's got a man of God that is able to recover, to help from leprosy. He's an unnamed person. We don't know much about him. He's really unnoticed in the picture of the Scriptures. But had one not went in and told, this would be the end of the story. One went in and told what he heard, that there was somebody able to help this man with leprosy. Hey, there's a whole world outside these four walls tonight. And they're waiting on one. You don't have to be the preacher or the deacon or an elder or anything of that sort. One, hey, something must have moved in his heart that they might be able to help Naaman in his condition. The importance of one. And he told of the Israelites' observation. You notice, you say, what's so big about him? Well, in verse 4, "And one went in." He made a choice. He was going to do something. You know what will happen between now and Sunday here at Liberty Baptist Church in Bowden, Georgia? There's going to be a choice. First of all, if we're going to come back to church. Then if we're going to bring someone, that bird, something happened in one's heart, and he may have just got a glimpse of hope. He may have seen leprosy just eating Naaman. Naaman's a good man. He's a fighting man. He's a warring man. But if something don't happen, Naaman's going to die in his leprosy and with his leprosy. You say, well, preacher, one's not that important. Had one not went in and done his part, Naaman would have died a leper. That would have been the end of the story. Many times you've heard about the little maid and her faith and the facts and everything she told. And all of that's true. But I hope that you can see there in verse number 4, had it not been one, the Bible said, that went in and told his Lord. He didn't add to it. You say, preacher, I don't know how to testify. I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to invite someone to come. He just said what the little maid said. He just went out and said what the Sunday school teacher said. What the man of God said. He didn't add nothing to it. Didn't take nothing away. He said just thus and thus is what the little lady said. In verse number 5, and I'm not going to look at all these, but in verse number 5, the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. Hey, the king of Syria even got concerned about Naaman. The little maid was concerned about Naaman. One was concerned about Naaman. We was out fishing, and I was about to start preaching this whole message yesterday. You know who's not concerned about their situation in this text? Naaman. Naaman is not really concerned. That's the way a sinner is. That's the way he's always been. He looks in the mirror. It looks like he always has. They can't tell it's getting better. They can't see that it's getting worse. But that little maid got a burden. One got a burden. Now you got the king writing a letter to another king where Elisha is to accept him and possibly cure him of his disease of leprosy. In verse number 6, that's what he said. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him. That thou mayest recover. That word recover right there means to cure. It means to make whole. And I'm going to tell you, I know somebody that can cure and somebody that can make whole. I was 28 years old. I was lost without God. And they told me of a man. They told me of one that could do something in the lifestyle I was living in. I got tired of the way I was living. Said like a lot of others have said, there's got to be something better to life than this. I am glad that God is still able to save sinners. He's still able to save sinners. In verse number 7, the reaction. This king, it came to pass when the king of Israel, when he read the letter, he rent his clothes and he said, am I God? And I'm just paraphrasing the rest of it. He thinks that King Assyria is going to use this to cause a war, to cause a battle. And then notice what happens in verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, watch this, the man of God. What a title. Elisha didn't say, hey, I'm the man of God. This king said, called him the man of God. Can I ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to shake your head, you don't have, y'all ever hear that? They love to hear it up in Burnsville, shake your little Baptist head. Y'all probably not ever heard that before. Have you got a man of God? Have you got a man of God? Elisha was a man of God. Now, here's something I've never seen. I know y'all have. In verse number 8, Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? He said, let him come now to me, for he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. All I want you to see out of my little education, and it ain't much, Elijah had relations with the king. In that old truck, well, that new truck I got, it's got an XM something on it, and it goes all the way up to 400 something channels. And I was going through them things, and I got to 460, and I found Billy Graham. Brother Sammy Allen, he had a lot of influence in my life when I first, well, up to the day he left this world. But he used to say that back in the 50s and 60s, Billy Graham was one of the greatest men of God that ever stood. Now, I've got to listen. The oldest I found is 1949. But do you understand Billy Graham? He was called into the Oval Office to the White House by presidents that asked his advice, they'd ask him to pray. Hey, would to God those days could come back. Where are the men of God that have influence in their town, influence at the courthouse and the bakehouse and the jailhouse? Elisha was a man of God. He was a man of God. He had an audience. He held an authority. There's no greater title than the man of God. Here's where we are. We've run real fast to get to verse number 9. And verse number 9 is a reality of your family, your friends, or your loved ones that are lost without God. Do you know somebody tonight that's lost? If they die before we get home tonight, they're more than likely going to go to hell. Watch what happens in verse number 9. And again, the little maid had a burden. One had a burden. The king had a burden. It seems as if the only one in this story that does not have a burden is Naaman himself. Watch what happens. And I pray this gets bigger than this Old Testament story so it can help someone that's in the building this evening. It could be your story. If I read verse 1 through 8 right, the only one not concerned about the condition of leprosy was Naaman. And the little maid was the first one that went in to the mistress. And I didn't paint you a well enough picture of the leprosy. In that decaying of the skin, there was also a stench of being around a leper. But she didn't let that stop her from telling about one that could cure his condition. I wonder if we've got so caught up with a loved one, mom or dad, son or daughter, brother or sister, they may be in the stench of alcohol tonight. If they were to come through these beautiful doors Sunday morning, there might be a little smell of alcohol. There might be a buzz from Friday or Saturday night. I'm telling you, leprosy has never been pretty to look at. It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. But she was concerned. She looked beyond his fault and saw that there was a need. We focused on their drinking, their adulteries. We've got a couple in our church that have been praying real hard for their family members. And Brother Ken, well, he knows all of them. Or Brother Jeffrey, he's a dynamic young preacher. He's been praying for his daddy. His daddy promised to come to revival when Brother Ken was with us, and he didn't come. And I could tell Brother Jeffrey was discouraged. You would be discouraged. But when I saw verse number 9, and those of you that have walked through these places where Naaman is, you'll understand. Just because they don't come the first time, that's not a time to give up. Just because they, and we're not going to get to that, they may get upset, but that's still a response. My brother prayed for me 17 years. He held me to the horns of the altar 17 years to die tonight. This coming year in 2021, I will still meet people that tell me for the first time that they prayed for me before I ever got saved. Don't give up. It could be their language. It could be the way they look. They may not look like we think they ought to look. 2021 has affected all of our families. My son got out. Sister Patsy, y'all don't even know that. Zeke got out last year. He got way out. And he got way out. And it got to us. God just spared him. And I don't understand why. I tried to tell him, you know, I said, son, you've had other family members that didn't get a second chance, but God give you a second chance. While he was out there in the world, he got this big tattoo on his right arm. Y'all remember him when he's this little. He's got that big tattoo.
He said, Dad, he said, I can't go back to Pleasant Valley. He said, they'll be mad at you. I said, you know better than that. You know better than that. I'm going to tell you, we got some, they don't all have their Sunday clothes on every service. When I sit in the pulpit, I'll look back here and she don't ever say much, but she'll get back there and wave on the back row. She's tattooed up one arm, backside of her neck, and down the other. But you start talking about grace and forgiveness and mercy, and she may not take a running fit, but then her eyes will begin to well up. She was just to know, I can't tell you, with social media going how far she went, but I'm going to tell you how far God will go. He'll go all the way to the bottom and pick us back up. He'll do that for yours. You say, preacher, they're too far gone. You don't know where they're at, what they're doing. I'm telling you, God does. This little maid said, if you can get them to my man of God, he'll have a word from God. And we'll just trust God to do what God can do. It's not that I don't have anything to say. This social media, it always gets me messed up. I got to be careful. There's a young man in our church been praying for his daddy. Been praying a long time. You know, it just don't seem right for young boys to have to pray for their daddy to come to church. It ought to be daddies praying for their kids and setting the example, but this is not the way. And we prayed for him and prayed for him. A week ago tonight, the young man called and he said, my dad's coming. I said, that's great. I knew he'd been in jail. I knew he'd been arrested. And when he come in, he hugged my neck. And I could smell how he got there. That's the only way he could get there. We're getting ready to get to verse number 9. The Bible said in verse number 9, so Naaman came. He came. That man came a week ago last tonight. And he met me at the door and he hugged my neck and I could smell. I said, we're so glad you're here. We've been praying for you every prayer room. So glad. If that might have been some places I've been in 29 years, they may have ushered him to a room, may have said, come back at another time. But I'm just telling you, Naaman came. There may be a day, it may be this Sunday, if God would do a supernatural work in our hearts to burden us to just go tell, look beyond their leprosy. It might be, y'all got so many doors around here, I can't see them all. But it might be that door that cracks open. And you look over there and there's your Naaman. There's that little boy. There's that girl. There's that husband or wife or mom and dad. Those first three words said, Naaman came. So Naaman came. He comes to the place to try to get some help. Let me show you these few things and I'm done. The leper responds. You know what the first step to getting help is? They're going to have to be honest and they're going to have to respond. Don't give up. Mom and dad, or it may be young people about a mom and dad, or however. Don't give up on the day when you look and you watch them come in. They may be marked up and scarred up. Boy, I used to say I'd bust his rear end. And I'm going to tell you, when he called me that day, I thought, when I was raising him, I said, I'll wear it. But I'm going to tell you when he called. When my son called and I went over there, I wasn't fighting. I wasn't busting nothing. I just grabbed that little feeble body that had been abused for about 5 weeks. And I held on to him while he was shaking and going through all of those things that goes through the situation he got. There may be a day. It could be this Sunday. It could be tonight when you get home. That knock on the door. Here I am. The Bible said, so Naaman came. So Naaman came. Have you got a Naaman you're looking for to come? Have you got somebody you've been inviting, praying over? This COVID thing threw us out of church. It threw us in parking lots. It threw us to online services. There's just something about when them doors open. And what I want you to see, watch the Bible will tell us what we need to see.
The leper responds, but then there's a look of respect. Now I had to study this to understand this. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. Why did he bring his horses and his chariot? John Gill, man I was reading after, he said he's trying to make himself presentable. He don't know Elisha. He don't know the God of Elisha, but he's trying to make himself presentable. Have you ever seen them brush back their hair? You ever seen them pull down their sleeves over their tattoos? Have you ever seen them, you know, just try to clean up? He's trying to make himself presentable. So Naaman came and he's standing at the door. He's trying. See, that's what a lot of these at my church that are struggling. It's hard to take that first step of coming in. You remember Naomi? After everything Naomi did, I mean, the Bible said there in at the end of chapter 1, she went out full, but she came back empty. She looked at that church and she said, don't call me Naomi. She said, call me Mara. But I've read those four chapters a few times, heard some of the greatest preaching. I've never found one time anybody ever called her Mara. From everything I've ever heard, that's what would happen at Liberty Baptist Church. They wouldn't be saying Mara, Mara, Mara. They wouldn't be saying remember and look and remember and look. The Bible said he had the horses and he had his chariot. And then at the end of verse number 9, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He's trying to look his best. Trying to make himself presentable. And you know what they did? They accepted him in. I just have to believe that's what would happen here. I know you got a man of God. That was a loaded question when I asked you that. I know he's going to preach the Word of God. Could there be one here tonight? Could it be you? Are you one? You can just go tell what you heard that Jesus can. You say, well, I don't know it from cover to cover. Tell what He did for you. You might be that little maid with that total confidence. And we're not Baptist writers that you got to be in church to be saved. But there's just something about being in the house of God around the Word of God. I mean, there's some other places they sure don't need to go. There's one. There's a little maid. Even the king sending letters. He wanted his servant recovered. Could it be this Sunday that your Naaman comes in? Bowden's not, well, it is bigger than Burnsville. Everywhere's bigger than Burnsville. But I'm sure in this small town, everybody knows about everybody's business. What was the name of that fishing plug you bought? We done forgot it. Jabberjaws. He said he's going to name out a Baptist fishing lure. Jabberjaw. I could put faces with that crankbait. But I just don't think if somebody's Naaman walked in, a little teenage Naaman girl, maybe a husband, and they're going to come back in, and they know they've got leprosy. That's why he had the horses and chariot. He wanted to make himself as presentable as he could. Every head bowed, every eye closed.